You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, kicking off hour two on a Monday. Logan Gordon along with you, Shannon Cam, my outstanding producers in the Doug Lacy's Basement Systems downtown studios. For Doug Lacy's Basement Systems, crack foundation, bowing foundation walls, they have a simple permanent solution to stabilize your foundation. Contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement-y. DLBasementSystems.com. Lots of Flames and Seattle Kraken in hour one. Heard from head coach Ryan Huska. Look back at some of our favorite memories from Saturday's Mika Kiprusoff jersey retirement. And took a look at the opposition with our pal Everett Fitzhugh, the voice of the Seattle Kraken. Jacob Markstrom gets the start. Matt Coronato recalled from the Wranglers, but will not play tonight. Looks like he'll be a healthy scratch alongside Dennis Gilbert. We'll have more on the Flames as the afternoon goes on. 6:30 warm-up with Steinberg. 7:30 puck drop at the Dome with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson. It is trade deadline week. We're getting set for it here. You know, we'll have you covered all day long here on Sportsnet today. On Friday, Big Show's got you. Flames talk as well. We're getting ready for it, and there's a ton to talk about across the NHL right now. And we'll do some of that with our next guest, Emily Sadler from Sportsnet.ca joins us to kick off hour two down the Atlas Peach and Sports Bar guest hotline. Emily, happy Monday. How are you?
Happy Monday. I'm good, Logan. How are you doing?
I'm really good. I'm excited for a busy week. It was a fun Saturday here in Calgary with the Kiprusoff jersey retirement, and just feels like generally there's a lot to talk about right now.
Yeah, especially where you are, right? I can't think of a team that's just like more fascinating right now than the Calgary Flames. There's just so much going on, and then stir in a, what, five-game win streak just to make things a little interesting?
Yeah, why not, right? First five-game win streak in 2 years, and they're trading everybody away. And
no big deal.
Yeah, it's just another day here in Calgary, clearly.
Yeah, I can't think of a team that, like, brings out, sorry if this is a sore subject, but that brings out just more of a case of the what if than these Flames. Just thinking like, oh my gosh, with the way that they're playing and, you know, just that sort of down the stretch momentum just in the midst of this, like, okay, and now we're selling everything off. It just, yeah, it has to make you feel like, oh, just what if we kept all of them, and what if it just worked out a little bit better if things could just come together? It's one of those, like, relationships and timing. Sometimes the timing is just not good. It's just not right. And that sort of feels like these Flames.
Yeah, it does give off that vibe a lot here, and we've had plenty of conversations about, you know, the different directions for this team, and it sure feels like ahead of Friday, you know, going back to early in the, you know, preseason, or I guess early in the offseason when Tyler Toffoli got traded, you know, the first 365 days for Craig Conroy on the job, it'll be Toffoli, Zadorov, Lindholm, Hanifin, and Tanev all out the door in the span of a year.
Yeah, it's quite the undertaking. And you always expect, I guess, some of that, right, when you have new leadership coming in. But I thought it was really interesting, like, in just sort of last summer and in the preseason, just sort of looking at, you know, his approach to, like, almost like this player-led approach. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, you see how that is good and bad, right? Like, you see the commitment of your players and you know, just feeling like, okay, like, I'm going to let you guys tell me, like, do you want to be in this for the long run? But you could also, yeah, of course, see how, like, just the way that it played out, and it really drew things out. And I think we saw that with, you know, Jacob Markstrom this past weekend of how, you know, maybe that's not always the best. You try to be as open as possible, but it kind of backfires at times. And so it's been an interesting kind of journey to watch, I think, like, as an outsider, just looking at what he's done with the team so far.
Does it still feel, as you mentioned, somebody looking in from the outside, like Noah Hanifin's still a really big piece waiting to happen this week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like, that one, it almost feels like, I mean, it almost just feels like a done deal. We just don't know who the team is yet.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of, like, I think kind of, you know, looking at the Chris Tanev trade and how, you know, Elliot Friedman had kind of reported that, you know, they made that sort of last minute pitch to say, like, hey, can we keep you? Can we keep you in the fold? But his response was sort of just that, you know, I think it's just gone too far down the road. Like, it's almost like, when you start thinking about retiring.
Yeah.
And once you start thinking about retiring, you've kind of moved on already. And I wonder if part of that, like, just going back to Conroy's approach with the players, like, once you start thinking about maybe being traded, what might that look like? Where might I want to be? It's sort of like that's where your priority goes in some ways. And yeah, in the case of Hanifin, that's a huge piece that it feels like, you know, the front runner looks like Tampa Bay right now, but it's still really kind of up in the air where he lands. But it does definitely feel like from an outside perspective that he will be moved.
Yeah, and it feels like as I was getting ready for the show today and as I was getting, you know, ready for what's going to happen this week, it sure feels like, and I know a lot's happened here in Calgary, we've sort of talked about some of the things that have already happened, but it sure feels like there's still a lot that's going to happen this week, not even just with Calgary, just around the league. It feels like there's going to be a ton of things that have to get done over the next 5 days.
Yeah, and there's so many, like, it feels like there's always the, okay, if this happens, then this. If
yes.
that happens, then there.
So yeah.
It's like we have already seen some big trades. They've sort of been these like kind of few and far between big trades, but we haven't really seen, of course, like the wave of trades come. And so it, you know, I don't know if there's a player that's more, you know, in the rumor mill more than like a Jake Guentzel, right?
Yep.
Who like every team preview that I see has like maybe Jake Guentzel could fit there. Like he can fit anywhere. Everyone's looking for that that winger or that forward depth. Or of course, you know, depth on defense is sort of like the three most popular words at trade deadline. So yeah, it does still feel like there's a lot that will happen, but at the same time, I'm not sure if there's a deadline that I've actually had like more questions about than this year. I don't know if it's just me or if it just feels like there's a lot of variables, especially this year.
Well, and just kind of look at it and you go, okay, the top teams in each division, not really anybody outside of Toronto has gone out and made that big splash yet. And even then, I don't know that Ilya Lyubushkin was a popular move in Toronto to make. So it feels like there's still a lot of work to be done for a lot of the top teams because we were expecting a lot of teams to add. I guess Dallas, I should say Dallas is one of those teams. They got Tanev earlier in the week. But past that, I mean, it still feels like a lot of contenders haven't made their final move yet.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of teams kind of standing pat in a lot of ways. And you do wonder, like a team like, I mean, I guess we could also pick out Vancouver from that group, right? Like they made the big swing for Lindholm. And then, of course, the biggest swing of all was just in-house by keeping Pettersson. And so that's one. But even, that feels different. But you're right. We haven't really seen necessarily like one team kind of really stock up as we see some deadlines. Definitely like, you know, when I look at if we keep in the West, when you think about a team like Vegas, it feels weird that maybe we have not seen a big swing from them yet, because that's kind of their MO, right? Like just kind of, if you look back at every single deadline that they've had, there's been some big move and they've all been pretty smart moves too. So kind of wonder about that. Curious about Colorado. They feel weirdly under the radar, or maybe that's just me for a team that just recently won the Stanley Cup and is very much a contender. So I'll be curious to see what they do. And in the East, as we, you know, we've already kind of touched on Tampa Bay being maybe the destination for Hanifin, but I want to know about the other Florida team. I'm curious what the Panthers do. Just, I know they were, you know, obviously in the Cup final last year, they had some big expectations this year, but I don't think anybody expected them to be this strong all season, just considering some of the injuries they were dealing with. So they're kind of an interesting team too, as a team that could also have, you know, maybe some cap space to play with for extending players. We're seeing a lot of that kind of those ideas of maybe a team wants a rental, but maybe a player doesn't want to necessarily be a rental. They want to go somewhere they can re-sign, like, again, using Hanifin as the example there. So that'll be kind of interesting to me to watch for.
Yeah, and you know what? You brought up a really interesting team in there in Vancouver, and that whole Elias Pettersson thing was crazy over the last week or so here.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, all of a sudden there's news about, oh, maybe Carolina made a legitimate offer that Vancouver was thinking about, and you're going back and forth, and, you know, now people are going, okay, maybe this was Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin going, hey, look, if you're not going to be here and you're going to be this non-committal in the middle of this really good season we're having, we have to look at trading you. So, you know, kind of make up your mind. It was interesting to see a team. I don't even know if that's really the tactic they took or not, but it was interesting to see that they at least had serious conversations with a team. And it kind of goes back to everybody thinking that, yeah, maybe Vancouver was right to be a little bit worried at first, because that seemed to be the move that got Elias Pettersson to sign there.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me think that, you know, we're seeing that maybe more and more is just teams being like, listen, we are not going to cut this close. Like, you know, the way that all the talk was around Pettersson's contract negotiations, it made it seem like he was destined for free agency this summer. Right.
Yes.
It's like, that was far from the case. Like, they had so much time, but I can also understand wanting to be able to, like, especially when you're in a season like this, wanting to just quiet all of the noise around your star player. And so when I look at that signing and just, like, the, you know, everything about it, like, I can't imagine more of a, you know, a bigger win-win all around than this deal, right? Like,
yeah.
You not only have just, you know, you've secured your star player, but it's also just the biggest endorsement that you could give to your team, right? Like, what a vote of confidence to have your star player telling, you know, all of Vancouver, all of his teammates, all of the fans that, like, hey, I believe in what this team is going to do. And, like, this really is just the beginning. And so, interesting tactic, potentially, maybe tactic from the front office to say, like, hey, listen up, like, your future could be in Carolina. Do you want to be in Carolina or do you want to be in Vancouver?
Well,
to sort of force his hand in some ways.
And, you know, from a Vancouver perspective, I kind of respect it because, you know, for them, they've gone this back and forth with Pettersson a bit since he got there. And, you know, if you're Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin, you're going, we're in the middle of the best season we've ever had. We've made two big additions already in Zadorov and Lindholm. Like, we're clearly going to go for it when we feel like we've got a good team. What else do we have to sell you on? Like, they were always willing to pay him the money. I don't think that was ever a question. So I was like, okay, good team. We're going to pay you as much money as it takes to get the deal done. What else is it that you really want? And you're right. It kind of just got down to the point where they kind of, it looks like they said to him, look, if you're not willing to sign, then it's going to be Carolina. It's going to be somewhere else because we're not, like, what else could you really have asked of Vancouver if you're Elias Pettersson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. And it does sort of sound like, you know, even just sort of his mindset, it may not have been necessarily about, like, ooh, I really just don't know about Vancouver. It's almost like, I'm just going to wait it out and you know, he even kind of joked, I think, about, you know, you're not going to show your cards in your negotiations. And I get wanting to maybe have an extra year to bet on yourself. But, yeah, I mean, as a management team, you're right. Like, kind of what else can we show you? How else can we show you that, like, we need you, we want you, like, you are, you know, so much of the identity of this team. And, like, and just to quiet the outside noise about it too, like, even just the timing of this deal, you know, it comes amidst this, I don't know if you can really ever call the Canucks slumping this season. Like, they have what, like, a 10-point they're like 10 points up on the Oilers in the Pacific. So it's like,
yeah.
But yeah, a slight slump, right? And it's definitely, I think, when you've had a team like Vancouver that, like, they're, you know, they've struggled the last couple of years. And so this season, to show that this season also, like, it is far from an anomaly, like, this is the norm. And so, yeah, to lock him up like this just is, yeah, I mean, I can't think of a bigger deadline victory than that.
Outside of Vancouver, we've talked about some of these contending teams and maybe some of the guys that are going to be out there for trade deadline this week. I'm curious, you mentioned Florida as an interesting team. They're kind of a name that's sort of hung around Noah Hanifin a bit. And, you know, they went to the Stanley Cup final last year. It's interesting you mentioned Colorado being sort of this under-the-radar team in the West. And I kind of agree with you, and I kind of look and say, Have we forgotten about Florida, who's all of a sudden atop the NHL standings as you and me talk here on Monday?
A little bit, yeah. It's kind of funny. Even, you know, just preparing for this and kind of, you know, just taking a look around the internet and different rumors and stuff like that. But then, yeah, just, I mean, going through the standings right now, it's wild to see just, I mean, they're just playing some of their best hockey. Like, they're just, I do think we've kind of forgotten about them. I think last year's Cinderella run, the fact that I'm calling it a Cinderella run, it's like, wow, that was so unlikely. And they really did. Like, they snuck right into the playoffs. But I think they've shown just so much resilience this year, like, starting off the way that they did with all of the injuries. And yeah, like, I would not be surprised at all to see them take another run at that cup final. So teams like that, you forget about. And then even just looking in the Metropolitan, like, what are you still doing there, Flyers? Like, what are you
doing?
Like, that's a surprise, right? Like, just if you were to kind of, prior to the season, like, kind of shake things up, especially when it comes to some of the wild card teams too, it's definitely interesting. And I think it's always kind of like that in the East. Like, the last couple of years we've seen, just with the wild card race there, it's sort of, there's always a, for lack of a better term, there's a wild card team in there that you're like, oh, didn't see that coming.
Yeah, and it's funny, especially around Philly, because you hear, you know, from Friedman and from the rest of the NHL insiders, they're like, yeah, Philly's still going to move a guy like Sean Walker, and they're happy they're in the playoffs, but I don't think Danny Briere or John Tortorella would have sat there at the beginning of the year and been like, yeah, we're definitely going to be a playoff team. Like, no question about it, we're going to be there, and we're not going to be rebuilding or any of this is a really kind of house money situation for the Flyers, where, hey, no one expected you to be in the playoffs. You might get some extra playoff revenue, get some good experience for some young players, and still be able to sell off the same deadline. It's kind of a win-win.
Yeah, I think so. It's cool to see what they're doing, right? And just to, and I like, and I respect the fact that they have clearly said, like, this is not changing our plan.
Yeah.
Like, we are not going to suddenly, you know, mortgage part of our future to sort of make a go of this run. It's one of those, like, think of, like, yeah, what's the best kind of experience that you could get for your young players? Like, hey, how about a house money playoff run? Like, that sounds fun, right? And you do, like, you see it every so often when you have a team that just jumps right in, and it's that kind of, it's a bit of the, to bring us back to our football roots, are they kind of like maybe like the Green Bay Packers, like a legendary brand, but then no one really expected them to do a whole lot this year, and yet here they are because they don't know what they don't know.
Yeah, you know what? I don't mind that comparison at all, right? You kind of turning the leaf over to some of these new guys, and if you don't tell them they're not supposed to be a playoff team, how would they know any better? So
they don't know what to be nervous for. They don't know, like, all of those things. It's just like, hey, how about a first house money playoff run?
Yeah.
Like, let's do this and see what happens, and you can kind of get a taste of it, and then it'll leave you wanting more. Or who knows, maybe there'll be that Cinderella run. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know once it starts how those things happen.
You never know.
No. Emily Sadler's along with us from Sportsnet.ca. Does Nashville sort of feel like the Philly of the Western Conference then?
They're always, that was a team I made a note when I was like making, just doing a little prep for this show, is just, are they not always in this position of like, no, this year is the year that they're kind of going to take a step back, maybe do the rebuild. Like, they always go on a little run right around this time, and I can never decide if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Just,
yes,
like, no one can ever really decide what direction they're going in. And, you know, like, earlier this season, the talk is of like, okay, are they actually going to commit to, like, maybe trading Yusei Saros? And then now it's like, oh, absolutely not. they need him for this playoff run they're about to go on. But, yeah, are they just destined for another first-round exit? Who knows? But they're always kind of that team that's like, okay, what are we doing? Like, they're playing chicken with the trade deadline again.
Yeah, I was talking to one of my producers about them earlier today, and it's just, I don't know how to process what Nashville is, because you're right. You're like, okay, you're obviously not trading UC Saros. You're in a playoff spot. But you've got Askarov at the AHL level who's doing all these great things. And they made these, I think a lot of people were wondering, okay, you moved out Matt Duchene and you brought in Ryan O'Reilly. Like, how's that going to work? And Ryan O'Reilly's just having quietly one of these unbelievable seasons in Nashville with 51 points. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's like, I don't know if this is a good thing for Nashville or a bad thing for Nashville. I really can't tell you.
Yeah, it's like the sort of the rebuild on the fly, except they haven't really taken off. Like, they're just still kind of in that messy middle. And I don't know, like, I'd be curious, like, I want to talk to some Predators fans. Like, are you happy about this? Do you wish that they would just say, hold on, we're going to reassess? Like, I mean, when you have, as you mentioned, like, when you have some of the prospects and or some of the veterans that are, you know, really, really doing great things right now, like, it would be hard to justify kind of taking that step back. But yeah, they are kind of like always now that messy middle team. And especially, I mean, it's not like they are in an easy division. I guess there really is not an easy division. But, you know, when you just look at, like, okay, what is their ceiling?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's really that high. But at the same time, I mean, Saros, if he, you know, gets hot in the playoffs, as he's known to do, like, who knows? Maybe they could go for a little bit of a run and maybe finally, I don't know, wipe clean those talks of, are they going to rebuild? Are they not? Can they get out of the messy middle? That's just always the question, I think, from the last several years when it comes to Nashville.
So many fun topics around the NHL right now. It's going to be a really fun week. And before I let you go, we've actually got some fun breaking NFL news. And for those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis, Emily joins us every week breaking down NFL football. The Broncos are releasing Russell Wilson. That's from Ian Rappaport. Coming down just a few seconds ago. They're moving on. Fresh slate for Sean Payton and for Russell Wilson. So two things quickly. Do you think the Broncos draft a quarterback? And where do you think Russell Wilson lands? What makes sense for him?
Okay.
No pressure.
I know. Okay. I think the answer, yes, they draft a quarterback, although off the top of my head now I can't even think of where they draft. But I think with Sean Payton, like, he needs to be in control of picking his own quarterback. I think he made that more than clear with Russell Wilson.
He sure did, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I would be curious with Wilson, like a Pittsburgh.
Okay, yeah.
Like a Steelers. I don't know, I think maybe the fact that they've got some good pieces for a strong run game, he can kind of complement that. I don't know. And I think Kenny Pickett is still kind of in that middle ground of, is he or isn't he the guy? Gosh, that's a tough one because, yeah, is there anyone whose stock is lower right now than Russell Wilson? Even though I still can't quite wrap my head around his fall from grace, but I still sort of believe that, like, he's got another good season in him, but who knows? But I'm curious about a Pittsburgh fit just because of their need and sort of where the team is around him.
Broncos currently slated to draft 12. That's kind of a tough spot for a quarterback.
Okay. It is a tough spot. I mean, it's a pretty deep class this year, but at the same time, it's one of those, like, you can't really draft a quarterback. You have to draft your quarterback.
Yeah.
And if you're in a position where you're sort of waiting to see which one falls to you, I don't know if that's really your guy. But, this is interesting.
Yep.
I've got some reading to do after this.
Yes, we do. And it'll be fun to talk about the Russell Wilson era in Denver going forward.
Oh, my gosh.
Thinking back on how bad that went.
Oh, man. Is it going to be one of those in 5 years where everyone's going to forget that he was ever in Denver, almost?
I think it depends on what he does next, right?
That's very true. Yeah, right. That's very true.
If he goes on and is good somewhere, maybe, but we'll see.
Yeah, I want him to have that. I want him to have one more good season.
Yeah.
I just do. Yeah, I don't want it to end like that.
Emily, you're the best. Thanks for hopping on and taking in some breaking news with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the football talk.
Anytime. Take care, Emily. Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye. Emily Sadler joining us from Sportsnet.ca. Plan to talk all things NHL and trade deadline with Emily. And we did for the most part, but some NFL breaking news coming down Yes, Jason Kelsey did retire earlier today, the longtime center for the Pittsburgh for the Philadelphia Eagles, excuse me. But Ian Rappaport has broke the news that the Broncos informed Russell Wilson he is being released when the new season officially the calendar moves forward on March 13th. So the Broncos will need a new quarterback and potentially a team out looking for a veteran option. Maybe looks to a former Super Bowl champion now in Russell Wilson as he is done after a disastrous tenure in Denver. Just two seasons for Russell Wilson after that big trade that saw him from the Seattle to Denver. So we'll definitely be watching that NFL offseason about to get into full swing in the next couple weeks. We'll have that covered here on Sportsnet today for you as well. But take a quick break, come back on the side. Last segment of the show coming up. Elliot Friedman, the 32 Thoughts podcast, dropped with Jeff Merrick, a new edition on this Monday. Let's get the latest from Friege when it comes to the Calgary Flames and their plans this week, plus more from the team on a game day against the Seattle Kraken. We'll hear from Jonathan Huberdeau and Oliver Shillington next when Sportsnet Today returns on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Yes, the Flames game day Monday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Flames going for six in a row against the Seattle Kraken. 6:30 Flames warm-up, 7:30 puck drop with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson. Should be a fun one at the Dome. Matt Coronato recalled from the Wranglers as Connor Zary's day-to-day with an upper body injury, but we're not expecting to see Matt Coronato in the lineup Monday. Andre Kuzmenko getting a shot with Kadri and Pospisil since Zary will not play. Looks like Jordan Oesterle and Dennis Gilbert going to swap spots alongside Braden Pahal as well. Jacob Markstrom gets the start in goal for the Flames. And on the Seattle side of things, no Alex Wennberg per head coach Dave Hackstall. He is being held out due to ongoing trade discussions. So lots ahead of tonight's matchup of Flames talk with Steinberg. Of course, for the latest, check out Flames warm-up this evening starting at 6:30. This Monday, of course, the kickoff to trade deadline week. It's approaching on Friday. You know we got you covered here on Sportsnet today with all local coverage. The big show is going to join it as well. I'm going to have Klein along with me on Friday. Steinberg will have you a Flames talk. Even if there's no Flames movement, you know it's going to be a busy day. We'll have you covered all throughout Friday, but that just means we're more days of speculation leading up to the trade deadline. As of right now, Noah Hanifin's still a member of the Calgary Flames. Of course, talk continues about Jacob Markstrom and the New Jersey Devils. But let's check in with one of the top NHL insiders. You know he's going to be busy this week. A new edition of the 32 Thoughts podcast dropping with Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman on this Monday. They dove into some storylines about the Calgary Flames heading into trade deadline. Here's the latest with Jeff and Elliot.
Even though they keep on winning and had a really impressive win Saturday on Hockey Night in Canada and a great Mika Kiprasov night, what about the Calgary Flames? We've seen Toffoli go, Zadorov go, Lindholm go, last week Tanev, soon to be Hanifin. We know all about the Jacob Markstrom drama as well and how he feels about how this process has played itself out. Where are you at on Calgary, Elliot?
Well, first of all, it should be mentioned, I thought they had a great ceremony on Saturday night. I thought it was extremely well done. I mean, of all the players who've had their numbers retired in recent years, is there any one of them that we really knew less about than Kiprasov? Jágr liked his privacy, but he was always out there. And nobody was more out there and knew more people than Chris Chelios. Their speeches were great. Their nights were great. And there was more we learned, but there was always a real connection between Jágr and the fans and Chelios and the fans. And not that there wasn't a connection between Kiprasov and the fans, but the thing is, they just really didn't know him. That's probably the most that anyone ever heard him speak. And it was it was a really good ceremony. And the after hours with Scott and Ryan Leslie and those guys was tremendous. It was just a really, really nice night. Now, one thing I do know is I know the Flames were very unhappy with the timing of the Markstrom thing and the comments. And you know, I mean, believe me, some people were unhappy with me, and I get it. That's fine. It's it's that time of the year and it's emotional. And, you know, another owner said to me, we were talking on Saturday morning and we were talking about that. And they didn't like the timing of that for Calgary because they're like, those weekends are so important to your team. You hate it when something dumps on them. But such is life. It's the week before the trade deadline, and that can happen. They won 5 in a row. It was an incredible win on Saturday night. Markstrom continues to play great. Kadri's been fantastic. You know, Huberto, one thing about Huberto is if you watch that goal by Kadri, he makes an incredible play on the defenseman right in front of the Pittsburgh net. Like he makes it. I can't remember who the defenseman was, but he makes it so that that defender can't get their stick in Kadri. And it's not even really interference or anything like that. It's just a really smart play. You know, the kids are going, you know, Pospisil was a menace all over the ice. You know, we said it, and someone agreed to me with it. They said if Calgary had everybody they started the year with and everyone stayed, they could be a real nightmare in the first round. Like, you would not want to see Markstrom in the first round the way he's playing, and you would not want to see a top D pair of Hanifin and Tanev in the first round. But, you know, this is where we're going here. Markstrom, his issue, on one hand, he's upset because it's not the same team he signed with. But on the other hand, I think he's more upset because he feels that he should never have been told he could be traded to New Jersey. I think that that's what this is all about. If it wasn't going to happen, then he feels he shouldn't have even been told about it, and he didn't want to know about it. And, you know, as Kevin said in the intermission on Saturday night, when he played with Markstrom, he was a single guy. And when you're single, like every parent who's listening to this, you know, when you're single and it's just you, you're like, la-da-da, I have no responsibilities, I'll do whatever I feel like. And then when you have a partner or you're married and you have children, you're sitting there and you're saying, oh my God, I can't be completely irresponsible. I actually have to consider other people with my actions. And I just don't think he liked that. I don't think he liked the stress. By the way, I'll also say this. I know a lot of people, including myself, have believed the deal fell apart over retention or what Calgary considered the proper price for retention. On Saturday, someone else said to me that they heard that it wasn't even that so much as Calgary just saw how Markstrom was going and how the team was starting to go. And they just said, look, we could make the playoffs and we're not doing this. So there's a second reason that this may have fallen apart. Whatever the case, Markstrom's upset about it. We'll see what that means over the next week. Now that the event is over with Kiprusoff, they'll really have to sit down and figure out how they want to approach this. And, you know, Hanifin, you know, like we said on Friday's pod, they made an offer to re-sign Tanev. He just said, you know what, we've gone too far along the way. Let's go and let's get this done. As of Sunday, when we taped this, Hanifin is still focused on teams he wants to sign with. And I think the Flames are too. Number one on that list, and nobody has told me I'm wrong about this, is Tampa Bay. And I believe the Lightning would like to do it. When that happens, it tells me that there's a deal to be made contract-wise. There just hasn't been a deal to be made trade-wise. And as I said on Saturday, if it was that easy to do, it would be done already. And what we don't know here is what happens if they can't get this done. Does Hanifin open up his list of teams, or and he has a partial no trade too, or does Calgary get to the point where they simply say, look, we're going to do what we think is best and we're going to make that deal. But it's amazing. Like they're hot. I bet you, Jeff, that there have been teams that have said, oh, what are you thinking about Blake Coleman? Or something like that. And
for sure.
Calgary has no inclination to do any of that. And it's really something, because I bet to me in Calgary, the fact that they tried to extend Tanev and they pulled Markstrom off the market and they continued to try to get Hanifin done for a while, that they agreed with those people who felt if they get into the playoffs, they're going to be trouble for someone to deal with, and they're disappointed that they couldn't keep that group together.
Yeah. You know, the player that I wonder about, because I agree with you, like when it's obvious that you're selling off, and we've seen the work that Craig Conroy has done before, I mean, teams call, like, why not, to check on players that we may not think are available. You know who comes to mind for me? I would imagine teams would have called for right shot defenseman Rasmus Anderson. That's one guy I wonder teams would have. They're not going to do it, but I, in the spirit of Blake Coleman, hey, knock on that door and see who answers. I would imagine Rasmus Anderson too.
Who do you think answered?
Well, it'd be Craig Conroy. He's the first line of defense. No, not at all. I don't think that he's going anywhere, nor do they want to do anything with Rasmus Anderson other than leave him where he is. Okay, here's a team we've wondered about for quite some time. What do they want to do? What are they able to do? How can they make it all work? We know where a lot of the holes are. How can they plug them? How creative can Ken Holland be? The Edmonton Oilers, Elliot.
So to me, the most fascinating thing is, because I still don't think it's 100% clear, what are the Oilers going to say is their first priority? What is their first priority? I do think they were in on Tanev, and I will say this. I think Tanev was intrigued with the idea of playing in Edmonton. I do think it was something he considered and was something he was willing to do. And I also think that the Oilers offered the Flames a first-round pick with the proviso that they had to take a player off Edmonton's roster. Mm-hmm. And Calgary just didn't want to do that. They weren't interested in what that potential was.
That is Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick on the latest edition of the 32 Thoughts podcast. You can find the full thing wherever you get your favorite podcast. But that on the Calgary Flames, the latest on Jacob Markstrom, Noah Hanifin, and a bit there on the Edmonton Oilers at the end and their potential interest in Chris Tanev, who we know was dealt to the Dallas Stars last week. Markstrom does get the start Monday night for the Calgary Flames in goal. We'll wait and see this week if Jacob's comments have changed anything. Have the Flames' perspective changed now that Tanev's gone and that we know Noah Hanifin's going to be going somewhere? And can the Flames figure something out with a team that Noah Hanifin is willing to extend with? Or will he be a pure trade deadline rental for a team? Sure feels like those questions remain unanswered, and whether or not that leads up all the way till Friday, we'll have to wait and see with this team. But still, after a year that's already been full of trade speculation and rumors every single day, it feels like we're in it for another couple of days at least. We know by Friday we'll get some clarity, but until then, stay locked in on the ride. Stay tuned to Sportsnet 960 because if and when it happens, we'll have it for you here on your home of the Calgary Flames. Flames and Kraken Monday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Let's head back to the Dome, check in with a couple more players on a game day. Oliver Shillington, first game with Rasmus Anderson in a long time, the former Stockton Heat D pairing, reunited now in Calgary. Oliver getting a big bump in minutes after Chris Tanev's departure, at least in his first game out against Pittsburgh. How's he feeling? How are they dealing with everything right now as NHL trade deadline week is here? Let's check in with number 58, Oliver Shillington, following morning skate on Monday.
Early on, like without Chris now, you're expected to do a little more on the ice. How'd you find it the first game and adjusting?
I've played that role I'm playing right now before, so it doesn't change that much for me. I'm just going to play my game and do what I'm good at, and I don't look at it as maybe you guys do, but just trying to play my game and do what I'm good at.
How's this group handling everything, Oliver, in your estimation? When you think about every day, there seems to be some storyline from the outside, but the reality is inside, you guys are pretty tight, buttoned down, and coming out on the right side of it, you know, against really good teams.
Yeah, like you said, I feel it's more noise on the outside than it is inside here, so we're just having a good vibe, looking forward to each game, and wanting to control what we can control, and that's our team play. So we're just looking forward to the next opponent trying to collect as many wins as we can.
Can we get a sense of maybe what leadership really looks like inside this room? Guys who've been here before, and I mean, you're all professionals, so you're able to kind of walk that line. But just the idea of what leaders and messaging can do for this group to kind of stay the course.
Yeah, no, I think just being just a good teammate and holding people accountable and just having great spirits in the dressing room and just having fun coming to the rink all the time. I think that makes our job easier, just to mix in a laugh here and there and just have fun together and work as a collective.
We've heard a lot about sort of opportunity for guys. It seems like Brayden is one of those guys who's come in and made the most of the opportunity that's been in front of him. What have you liked from playing with him and just his game in general?
No, like he's been great since the get-go, and I think just when you're new, you want to make a new guy may feel as comfortable as possible and just want him to be himself, and I think that's shown. So I think that's just with everyone that comes in and plays, that we want him to make to feel comfortable and just have fun out there and rely on their abilities to play as best that they can. So I think everyone's been great, and Brayden's been really good.
Oliver, going back before Saturday, when was the last time you were partnered with Raz?
Ooh, like 4 years ago, maybe? No, like in up here. Okay. I think when Bill Peters were a coach, we were playing 40 games together, maybe? Okay. Yeah, so.
Your memory's better than mine.
Yeah, yeah.
He's younger.
Yeah, yeah. But we played with each other a little bit more in Stockton, but we played some games up here too, so we're very comfortable with each other.
I know you guys are good friends as well. Like, how does that work as a partnership? What makes the two of you kind of
just check? Makes it way easier, I would say. We know our games and we know each other well off the ice as well, so it's just fun, and I think we complement each other well out there, and it's good that we'll get more games to show that.
Opportunity. I want to talk about this blue line, I guess. And opportunity, when you see guys subtracted from the lineup, traded, moved, injuries, whatever, just the psychology for a defenseman when, you know, there's guys who have to go a long stretch without getting in, and then all of a sudden they're in. Just that mentality of having to wait, making the most of the opportunity, and what that can do for you as players to kind of showcase yourselves tonight, but also going forward.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, I've been in that situation, so I think just making practice as game-like as possible and just trying to work on stuff when you have the chance to practice, but also just staying there mentally as well and trying to have that trust within yourself that when that opportunity gets, you know what you can do and you know what you can give to the team. So it's a bit of both. And obviously, it's a tough challenge to be in. But I think when everyone stepped in the lineup, they've contributed. So yeah, we just have to keep it like that.
Is that hard to do?
It is. I mean,
in the moment?
I think it is. I mean, it's it helps a little bit with experience when you've been in that situation. But I think it's tough. Yeah.
How Oliver, you mentioned the culture a couple of minutes ago, and how does that get created? How do you see that being created on the inside, especially?
I mean, obviously, it helps when people get to know each other better and then they've known each other for many, many years, but also just being demanded at each other and just creating that space in here where everyone knows that we work for each other and it's a team, it's not a one-man show, and that we understand what we have to do to be successful. I think that comes in with being as a collective, but also as our leaders that's been here for a long time, that knows that it takes a lot to win games and doing that consistently is hard. So yeah, tough question, but I think it is like that.
I know they're all big games, but these games against teams that are also in the wild card hunt, are they any bigger?
I mean, I feel every game is big. I maybe say that too much, but yeah, this is a head-to-head game. And we all know that, but like I said before, we approach every game as a must-win game. So we're going to do that tonight as well, and we're looking forward to it.
Is there an underdog mentality that this group feeds off of, knowing what's going on the outside of all the crew?
Yeah, we like being hyenas. So, so yeah, no, but we have that belief. I mean, we know that we can beat any team in this league. So. We just have to show that each and every night, yeah.
There's Oliver Shillington, and now our final check-in on the Flames locker room on a game day following morning skate at the Dome. I'll check in with number 10, Jonathan Huberdeau.
Yeah, I guess we'll begin, you know, with this team on such a hot streak. It's very impressive considering all the news around trade deadline happening this Friday. Can you just talk about the mental capacity what this team has been able to accomplish and what's been that secret for you?
I think we, you know, we got a great veteran in the room that, you know, that can help with that. And I think, you know, we've been around long enough that we know it's never, you know, it's always a tough time going to, you know, March 8th. But, you know, for us, we just think about getting points, you know, on the ice with the guys that are in here. So I think that was our, that's what we said in the locker room, and that's what we're going to keep doing till the end of the year.
We know you guys are trying to accumulate as many wins and points as possible to make the playoffs, but does it mean anything that you guys are on this 5-game winning streak, considering how difficult it's been for you in the past to string together some of these wins before?
Yeah, but I mean, I think we try to look ahead, you know, instead of looking in the past, and, you know, that's what we've been doing. I think we've been going on a lot of streak. You know, it's more after the streak that was happening, but I think, you know, it's going to happen. We're going to drop one at some point, but it's how you come back from that. So I think it's important for us, and, you know, hopefully tonight we can get another win and get the streak going.
What has been, like, what are some of the things that have jumped out to you since the All-Star break about the way the group is playing?
I think more consistency. I feel like, you know, we had a lot of ups and downs, I feel, beginning of the season. And now I feel like everybody's kind of, you know, putting their whole, you know, a lot of work every game, and you can tell. And I think we're just playing more together as a team.
How much has just the overall belief inside this room kind of grown and evolved as the years gone along, even going back to the rough start of the beginning?
Yeah, I think we all believe in each other, and that's a big thing. I think you look at the other guy beside you, you want to work for this guy, and I think that's what we do. I think we have a lot of good guys in the room, a lot of character, so I think we just got to, you know, I feel we have a good chance. I think, you know, the other team keeps winning too, but I mean, for us, focus on our team and on our game, and I think, you know, we're striving in the right direction.
How are leaders, like, reinforcing that message that playoffs is still the goal for this group? How do you reinforce that?
I think we know we're, you know, we can do it, and I think, you know, despite, you know, a lot of talks, you know, about our team, we know what we can do as a group, and I think we've been showing it, and it's just to do it till the end of the season. And you never know what can happen in the NHL, so you just want to get in last wild card spot anyways, but you need to get in the playoff, and there's a big belief in our team that we can do it.
Three tight games against Seattle this year. What's the key going on?
Yeah, I think we played good in their building against them, so we got to, you know, bring that here at home. And, you know, it's going to be a tough matchup, playoff matchup. You know, they're close. They need some points too, so we just got to be the on-grid team.
Jonathan, what signs do you see that Yegor is starting to maybe feel a little bit more comfortable with his duties as a center?
Yeah, he's been good. I mean, really responsible. I think obviously he needed some time. You know, he hasn't played center in a while. But, you know, I thought, you know, he put a lot of work into it, and he's been really good. I think, you know, he's winning faceoffs, responsible defensively, and it, you know, it brings that when you're responsible defensively, it's going to come to you, and you're going to be good offensively.
Can you tell how much of a focus there is for him on faceoffs? I know he didn't love the numbers. Can you tell how determined he is there?
Yeah, he wants to win it, and obviously, you know, it's you want to start with the puck, so that's what we want to do. And you know, I know he's working hard. Obviously, some nights it's not going to go his way, but, you know, we're going to help him as much as possible.
Jonathan Huberdeau, our final check-in in the Flames locker room on a game day against the Seattle Kraken. Again, 6:30 Flames warm-up with Pat Steinberg, 7:30 puck drop with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson. Flames going for their sixth straight victory as trade deadline week is officially here. We're putting a wrap on the show on this Monday. It's been a busy one. Lots of Flames talk going back to Saturday's big win over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Talk on Mika Kiprusoff's jersey retirement night. Also checked in on the Seattle Kraken with our pal Everett Fitzhugh and NHL trade deadline stories with Emily Sadler from Sportsnet.ca. All on the program today. If you missed any of it, check us out on the podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. We'd love to have you along for the ride. My outstanding producers on this Monday have been Cam and Shan. Appreciate their hard work. Thank you for listening live or on the podcast. If you show us a text at 960-960, really appreciate you being along for the ride. We'll break it all down on a Tuesday edition of Sportsnet Today. On Tuesday, enjoy your Monday evening. Enjoy the Flames and the Kraken. This has been another edition of Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.